brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. We're going to continue our series on the covenant of the pieces, the covenant that the word of Yahweh made with Abram in Genesis 15. Let me review some of the steps real quick so you know what I mean. Nine steps of the ancient covenant in the Middle East, okay? Even to this day in Africa, they're still continuing to do this. And it's very significant because they do it different than the Middle East. They actually drink the blood because the blood typifies the body of the person. So you don't want to do that. Okay, but in biblical terms, they drink the wine and they eat the bread, and that's basically typology of the body and the blood. Okay, because they don't literally drink the wine, the blood of the person. So first step is taking off your robe or coat. Second step is taking off your belt. It represents the money and the shield and the sword. Cut the covenant, which basically means cutting the pieces. Make sure the pieces are cut, and then you raise your arm. You walk through the pieces, and in some places, even the blood goes up to the ankles. It's very bloody. And then you raise your right arm and you mix the blood. While you make an incision, you mix the blood. And then you also make an oath. Then you exchange names. Then you make a scar of the incision. That way there will always be a witness that you are in covenant with somebody. Just like the ring is the covenant of marriage, and just like circumcision is the covenant, the sign of the covenant, that's the sign that you're in covenant with somebody, just like the ring. Everybody knows that I am married with somebody. Anila dodiva dodili. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. No one sees my wife. You haven't seen my wife, but you know that I'm committed. You know that I'm in covenant. You know that I'm married. Therefore, this will let somebody know that I am in commitment and in covenant with somebody else. This is why jealousy and wrath comes upon a man or a woman when there's adultery in the house. Why? Because they broke covenant. Normally, women are the ones who really remember the vows. They'll tell you, you broke the vows, because vows are important. How come vows are so important to women? Because, see, the body of Messiah is the bride, okay? And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this, "Husband, love your wives, just as Messiah loved the congregation, and he gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." In other words, he walked through the pieces in the ancient covenant. And the ancient covenant, when you walk through the pieces, you raise your arm, you make the scar, and you sign it, and you come through the terms and you give the terms of the covenant, you say what happens to those animals may happen to you. So therefore now, Yeshua, he is the covenant maker. He was the one who was walking through the pieces. Therefore, he was willing to die for Israel when she went away and committed adultery with other gods, so he can resurrect and take her back as his bride. He was willing to die for her. Why? Because he came into a covenant with Abram. And he lived up to the end of his covenant. He lived up to the end of the bargain. In other words, he said, if you sin, Abram, or your descendants break the covenant, I will pay your price. He took the penalty of willful sin away from him. Because Israel willfully, the ten tribes of Israel, willfully, rebelliously moved away from Yahweh. That's why in Jeremiah 3:8, they were exiled. They were given a bill of divorce, bill of get. Yahweh didn't divorce them. They divorced Yahweh by worshiping other gods. So how can the king, how can Messiah restore his kingdom in the second coming when the ten tribes of Israel are scattered abroad all over the world? By dying for the congregation, resurrecting as a new man to take her back, and then preach the gospel, go and get the news of the sanctification of the bride through the word, through the Torah and the prophets, that the promised Messiah of Israel is here to redeem you back, to buy you back, to get you back. That's the whole bottom line. The next step would be giving the terms of the covenant. The eighth step is eating a memorial meal. And then planting of a memorial tree. This is very important because now that's what we're going to be covering, some of the other steps. Let's talk about biblically about raising of the arm and mixing of the blood. We know that Yeshua did everything. You see, it went through Abraham, you know, and it goes also in Yeshua. He did everything. Every requirement was fulfilled by him. And we're trying to cover that. Okay, raise the arm and mix of the blood. You have to raise your arm in order for you to make an oath. And here says that Yeshua sits at the right hand of the Father. Matthew 26:64, Yeshua said unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." What does that mean? It means that if the Father is making covenant and Yeshua is the right arm, that means that Yeshua was the one who walks through the pieces. And when the Father lifts up his arm, but he has no form or image, so that means that it was the right arm of the Lord who made the covenant with Abram. Okay? So therefore, he's sitting at the right hand. That's what it means. The right hand is not only the strongest hand, but it's also the covenant, the one you make the oath with. 1 Peter 3:22. Before we go to the screen, I want to read you who the audience is. I want to read you through the audiences. I've decided to really expound on this teaching and continue because I think the evidence and the information is very significant that I didn't want to rush through. So if we have to do a few more programs on this topic, if we don't finish it on time, it's okay. We will do that because I want to really, really cover what I'm trying to say. Because a lot of people, you know, I talk fast and they don't really listen because they go through channels, they're searching through channels, and they might go between one commercial and what I'm saying, and then they change and they think, oh, Rico said this, and they're not really listening to the whole thing. It's important to listen to the whole thing and verify everything that we say. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter says this: Peter, an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah. No, you come back to me because it's not in the screen. Peter, an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia. It says, Peter, an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, 1 Peter 1:1, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. The Greek word there for disperse is diaspora. And the word diaspora means concretely, the Israelites were scattered abroad in Gentile nations. So the audience that he's talking to here is Peter, are not the Gentiles, are the Israelites that are scattered in where? Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and Pontus, which is modern-day Turkey. So let's go back to the screen and continue the other verses that I was posting. 1 Peter 3:22, remember who the audience is. He's not the Gentile, the Israelites. He says, Yeshua, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of Elohim, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Why? Because he's a covenant keeper. Let's continue. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, okay, sat down at the right hand of the Elohim. Why did he have to offer one sacrifice for sins forever? Because he was the covenant maker. He was the one walking through the pieces. So therefore now what happens is that when he gave up himself, why did he have to give up himself? Because that's one of the conditions of the ancient covenant, that if one of the two parties break the covenant, then one must die. But Abram was sleeping. I'm going to reiterate that all the time. Abram was sleeping. He was not walking through the pieces. Only the pillar of fire walked through the pieces, which I consider to be the word of Yahweh, the Mema, the Logos. Okay, continue. Exodus 24, verse 1, all the way through. So I'm going to show you now what significant this is, because when the children of Israel come in covenant with the covenant maker of Mount Sinai, now they have to ratify with blood. And you're going to see all the evidence of the ancient covenant here. In Exodus 19, there was the oath. Okay? Then the people accepted the oath. It's like walking through the pieces. Then, after they do that, Moses comes down as the mediator, remember? And then they do a sacrifice. And that's what it's talking about here. And verse 2 says this: And Moses alone shall come near Yahweh, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. Verse 3, And Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahweh and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words where Yahweh has said we will do. Now, this is very significant. Why? Because now that's the other end of the bargain. I'll do this for you, you do this for me. The condition in Mount Sinai was that you will obey my commandments. You will have no other gods. If you accept the covenant, then you do this, you do that, you do this. If you do not do this, then you'll be cursed. This will happen to you. This will happen to you. It's like a contract. If you have a contract, you have benefit, and you have legal binding things that you have to do, and you will suffer through legal problems, repercussions, if you do not follow the covenant. So, everybody accepted the covenant, so what happens? And Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh, and he rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill. Altars represents the authority of Yahweh on the earth, and in this case is the place where you ratify the covenant, because it has to be through blood. Remember, in Genesis 15, you have to open the meat of the animals, and you have to let it bleed out. You're walking through the pieces. You're walking through blood. So here, the same thing has to happen, except that because the people are not worthy, right? This is the second time The first time was when they came into covenant, and then they worshiped the golden calf. This is the second time when Moses goes up, intercedes on their behalf, right? And then he wants to ratify the covenant. All right? And now here it says, and build an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So the covenant is with the 10 tribes of Israel, with the 12 tribes of Israel. It's not with the Gentiles. It's never been with the Gentile nation. See, Abraham was a Gentile who walked from his place, from his kindred, and he left his practices, and he walked by faith, and he believed in the land of Canaan. He believed in the Elohim of Abraham. He believed in the Elohim of creation. He walked by faith. He left his practices. He left his world. He left his former being, and he became a different man. Okay? And he sent the young men and the children of Israel, which offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings unto the oxen, unto Yahweh. Listen to what Moses does. And Moses took half of the blood and put it on basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. See, now blood is becoming the issue here, right? He took the book of the covenant, the Torah, and read it to the audience and of the people, and they said, all that Yahweh has said, we will do and be obedient. So now they're coming into a covenant. They're coming into oath. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which you have made, which Yahweh have made with you concerning all these words. Because when there, you have two people, they're walking through the pieces. But when you have 3 million, you can't go walk through the pieces. So he just sprinkled the people with the blood. As if they walk through the pieces. You follow? Blood has to be present. I hope, is this making sense to you guys? Is this clear? It's probably a little different, isn't it? But there is one sin there's no forgiveness for. There's one sin there's no forgiveness for, which is willful, rebellious, defiant sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says this, For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Because Yeshua did it once and for all. The sin of Israel, when they went and worshiped the God of the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Greeks and the Romans and all those things, and they removed themselves and he was exiled from the country, he said, I'm going to die on their behalf. Okay? But now, if you reject Yeshua, there's no longer remains any more sacrifice because he already did it once and for all. See, the whole issue is about ancient covenants in Hebrews 10. It says, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and a fury indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy on the witness of two or three witnesses. He that despises Moses' Torah died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Why does it say that? Because you came into a covenant. And the Torah is the condition of that covenant. So if you despise this, you're no longer in covenant. It's like you buying a house and they give you the contract and you say, contract, I don't need to follow that. I don't need to make the payments. I don't need to pay the bank. I don't need to do that. What is going to happen? You're going to be on the street. They're going to take your house if you don't make the payments. But if you can't make the payments because you don't have a job, you can call the bank and say, listen, I'm having a tough time financially. Can you give me grace period? Can you give me an extension? Now they decide the mercy and the grace. But you ask them because you couldn't make the payment. Or if you forgot unwillfully or you went through something, they extend it. But you see, but if you do away with the Torah and you do away with the commandments, which is your covenant, Yeshua says, sanctify them by your word, and your word is truth. So how can the Torah be done away with when Yeshua says, if you love me, keep my commandments? Because he's the lawgiver. He's the one who walked through the commandments, through the pieces. Let's move on. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Says, of how much more punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy, he that has trodden underfoot the son of Elohim, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, you see, an unholy thing, and has done despise unto the Spirit, despite unto the Spirit of grace. So if you do away with Yeshua, the blood that he shed for your willful defiant sin that leads you to eternal death, that's why we're going to live forever in the kingdom. Why? Because Yeshua, he beat death. He took the penalty of death away from Israel so that in the future, we will have eternal life. That's the reward. That's the reward. Okay, let's continue. Exchanging of names. Let's talk about exchanging of names. Genesis 17 says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and with you, and you shall be a father to many nations. Neither shall your name be any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I've made you. In other words, Yahweh changed his name from Abram to Abraham. This is why in modern Judaism, when a Gentile converts, when a Gentile converts to the religion of Judaism, when they come out, they give him a Hebrew name. They give him a Hebrew name so they can show the people that he's no longer living like that old man. That's the old self. That's the pagan ways. Now he's a new creature in the Messiah. See, Hebraically, the steps of coming into following the Torah is basically transformation. That's what Paul is saying. You know, transforming and renewing of the man. What is the renewing of the man and the mind and the renewing of the man? Is making a transition from a pagan person to a sanctified holy person in the ways of Yahweh and the commandments. And following the commandments, following the Torah, following the covenant. All right, let's continue. Which letter was added? The letter He is in the name of Abraham. That's the letter in the Hebrew that was added to his name. That letter typifies the Ruach, the Spirit of God, Spirit of Yahweh. The same letter was added to the name of Sarai, to Sarah. That's very significant because now you understand that when you come to the Father, they're going to give you a new name. So let's go through Scripture and find out what Scripture tells us about a name. In Isaiah 62, verse 1, it speaks to you about that. He says, when Messiah will come, from Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and salvation thereof as a lamb that burnt. Says, and that the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of Elohim. So we're going to be called by a new name. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the congregations. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the white stone a new name written which no man knoweth, nor received it. Now, Revelation 3:12 says, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of Elohim, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my Elohim, and the name of the city of my Elohim, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven of my Elohim, and I will write upon him my new name. So he will give the name to somebody. So that's why they changed the name. We have a new name. Okay, I have a Hebrew name. Okay, I go by Rico Cortez, but I do have a Hebrew name. All right, now let's go to the next step. Making the scar. In the ancient Hebrew covenants, you have to make a scar, mix the blood, you know, so you can be blood brothers. But here we have in Genesis 17, in which the scar that Yahweh chose for the descendants of Israel is the circumcision. And we're going to talk about why in that particular area. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between you and me. Now, why the circumcision of the flesh? And why on the eighth day? Well, the eighth day has the largest, the highest amount of vitamin K in your body. Okay? This is very significant because you correlate the blood, okay? That's science. But why the eighth day? Because eight typifies new beginnings, resurrection. Now, what's really significant is that why choose that particular area on the male genitalia in order to have a sign? Why can't you just cut the ear? Okay, I'm going to cut your ear so everybody will know that you're in covenant with me. Why there? Well, because he's not looking for people to have their ears cut off. He's looking for people to have the foreskin of their the genitalia cut off. Why? Because the seed comes out of there. And he wanted everybody in the world to know that every descendant, there will be no question that every descendant that come out of the seed is dedicated to Yahweh. Just like every animal, the firstborn, was dedicated to Yahweh in the first century in the temple. You know, so is the every firstborn dedicated to Yahweh. So you see the whole pattern, the seed of Abraham. He's making not only a covenant with Abraham, but he's making a covenant with its descendants. That's an incredible covenant. Because now, whether you want it or not, if you're a descendant of Israel, you are in covenant. You need to be reconciled back into the covenant through Yeshua the Messiah. But that's why the gospel has to go to you. Because if you are a descendant of Abraham, scattered amongst the heathen, because he loved Abraham so much, he has to send his disciples to go gather the dispersed of Israel. Because he is faithful to the covenant. And he wants to bring you back for his own great name, and for his name's sake, and for his righteousness' sake. Let's move on. It says, he that is born, verse 13, he that is born in your house, and he that is bought with money, must need to be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh, for an everlasting covenant. Last time I checked, Yeshua, they bought him for 30 pieces of silver. So he died for you on your behalf, okay? Now, how do we find this concept of showing of the scar of the covenant in the story of Yeshua and the Brit Chadashah in the first century writings? In John chapter 20, you have the Yeshua showing the signs of the covenant. How did he do it? When Thomas was doubting, okay, one of the 12, he says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen Adon. I gotta fix that. Come back to the screen for me, please. Come back to me for a minute. I gotta fix that verse because I made a mistake. It says, the other disciples therefore says, you have seen the master. Okay, Yeshua says, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the nails and trust my hand in his side, I will not believe. You know, sometimes we should be a little bit like Thomas. You know, because in the end times, the anti-Messiah is going to deceive a lot of people. You know, how do you know if he's the true Messiah of Israel or not? Very simple. Show me your hands and show me your side. He's going to do miracles, right? How will you know the difference between the real one and not? So you show me your hands and show me your side. If you don't have the sign of the covenant that you made with me, you're not the Messiah. You are the anti-Messiah. Very simple. You know, this is the biblical principles to tell us. Okay? Let's move off to the next step. We have only a few more minutes. I think I can cover this part. Given the terms of the covenant. Now, the terms of the covenant are found in Deuteronomy 29. It says, ye this day and all before you, before Yahweh your Elohim, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, and all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, your strangers that are in your camp, and from the hearer of the word and the drawer of the water. In other words, everybody. It's not just the Jews. Everybody who's dwelling within you. Okay? It says, you shall enter into covenant with Yahweh your Elohim, and enter into this oath with Yahweh your Elohim, making with you this day. Remember, there were the Israelites, there were the mixed multitude, there were the strangers who were there. And it says, that he may establish a covenant this today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto you an Elohim, and that he said unto you, as he has sworn unto your father Abraham, Yitzhak, and Isaac and Jacob. You see that? So he's not only coming into covenant with you, he's want to let you know, the covenant that I'm making with you is the same one I make with those guys. Just like I will die for them, I will die for you. Okay? And it says, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us today, before Yahweh Elohim, and also with him that is not with us here today. And this is why, when we go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I always keep saying this, and I hope you take me up on it. Go back and verify everything I say, please. I'm only sharing what I'm learning. If I'm wrong, I'll fix it. But this is what I'm learning, and I want to show you what the Bible says. Okay? Listen to what it says. In 1 Corinthians says, chapter 10, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud. They were under covenant. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Messiah. You see, in other words, he's making a covenant with you. So when you accept Yeshua, the moment you accept the Messiah, is as if you were there in Deuteronomy 29 on Mount Sinai. That's very powerful, because not only you got to think about it. If the covenant is not only with you, but also your descendants, that means that any descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the ages have to be in covenant, as if he was there when he made the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Does that make sense to you? Are you following? That's powerful. That's the love of God. That even though we don't deserve it, because he's faithful to the covenant that he made with the ancients. And that's what Nehemiah was praying. When Nehemiah was in the dispersion, he understood about the covenant. And he says, oh, I say, I pray, Yahweh Elohim of heaven, oh great and awesome Elohim, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. You see, he understood that Yahweh was a covenant keeper, and he understood these principles to the point that when they were in trouble, they were calling upon the name of Yahweh. And the reason why Yahweh allows Israel to go through struggles and to go through difficulties because of their disobedience is so that they begin to call upon the name of Yahweh and remember the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he can be their shield and their protector and their sword and their refuge. This is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. We have to understand what the true love of God is in our lives. We say we believe in Yeshua, but we can't even prove our faith. We don't even know how to really teach it because of replacement theology, because of denominationalism. I submit to you that please take a second look at scriptures from a Hebraic perspective. Allow your mind to be renewed from the Greco-Roman understanding of scripture to the Hebraic mindset, so that then you'll be able to see clearly what really covenant is all about. I pray that Yahweh bless you and keep you and protect you and guide you and lead you into his righteousness, that you will always be willing to obey and listen to the commandments and always observe the covenant that Yahweh through Yeshua made with you and us. Yahweh bless you and keep you. We'll see you next time. Hello, thank you for joining me, and it's a pleasure to be a teacher here at GLC, and I personally want to thank Al and Tommy Cooper for the opportunity to give us a chance to teach Torah and to bring the Hebrew roots into your homes. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go to my website, www.wisdomintorah.com, or if you'd like to email me, you can email me at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Also, some of the other information will be there for you to enjoy, and PowerPoints and other things further for you. Yahweh bless you and keep you. And remember, everything that I teach, everything that I share with you is in my heart, so we can grow together, so we can learn together, so we can become spiritually mature for the coming of our Messiah. All I ask is that when you read something that I say, go back and verify everything I said. Do not believe anything that I said. Owe it to yourselves to only praise him, to give him the honor and the glory, because we are all servants of the Most High Elohim, Yahweh Sevaot. Yahweh bless you and keep you.